Let's get ready for our study this morning, worship together. Well, I don't know where everyone is today. My goodness. The partial rapture? Are we mid rapture? Good grief. The pre-trib or mid-trib? If we didn't make the pre-trib, they're all gone. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. That all that we do would be glorifying to God, glorifying to Christ, the power of His Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom we enjoy in America, the freedom, Heavenly Father, to worship as we see fit under the leading of Your Spirit. And Father, we pray that You'll be with our president, government officials, protection of this freedom. It's so valuable. We cherish it so deeply. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Your Son. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, there's not very many here, but from coming off of our study last Sunday in dealing with singing of hymns and psalms and hymns and sacred songs, let's turn to 406. 406, teach me, O Lord, I pray. Teach me, O Lord, I pray. And let's all stand and sing together. I'll turn off my mic so y'all can sing.
This tune is to the tune of Crown Him with Many Crowns. Three verses of 406. Teach me, O Lord, I pray. Teach me, O Lord, I pray, Thy precious truth divine. Lead me to understand Thy word and make its precepts mine. Impart Thy wisdom, Lord, shed light upon my way. Thy boundless love, teach me, O Lord, I pray. Train me, O Lord, I pray, in knowledge and in skill. O daily let me walk with Thee and do Thy perfect will. Train now my heart and mind to serve Thee unashamed. At home, abroad, wherever Christ has yet to be proclaimed. Use me, O Lord, I pray, to shed Thy light sublime, to rich and poor, to high and low, of every race and clime. Oh, may Thy flaming zeal burn constantly in me, till souls in darkness everywhere fall down and worship Thee.
Okay, let's talk about some prayer. And I just kind of in the wonderful habit of just starting off with Thomas. How's Thomas doing?
Fantastic.
Good. That's a great answer. That's better than good. He's done fantastic. All right. Wonderful. And let's see. Candace is doing okay?
Yeah, she's doing very well.
Doing very well. Well, we got some answer to prayer then. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how are you doing on your back?
Very well.
What did the doc say?
It went well and it felt better yesterday. It's a little bit tight.
If you ever just quit walking on it, all over you.
Walking the rain
then. So you're still having back trouble though?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
It takes like up to 14 days to take full effect.
Okay. How is your crew doing in California?
They're doing good. They have a tough time. California way of life,
Oh, forget it. His crew, John, goes wherever there's national disaster to help with power and different things. And he usually goes, like he just got back from the Florida, and they all had to go to California. Came down with a bad back. I just figured God didn't want him there. Protected him. Keep him here. So, very thankful. And continue to be in prayer. Jim Lakeson, how you doing, sir? Okay. Tomorrow. Okay. Being done in prayer. So, thank you for sharing that with us. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Morgan.
I had two. I'd like to add my mom, Rebecca.
Oh.
Back on the list. And in the past, she was hospitalized right after Thanksgiving for AFib, atrial fibrillation, in her heart. She was only there 2 nights to change her medication, which may help with some of the fainting and dizziness spells she's had before. They're hoping that it'll stabilize her. But she's doing great now. It's the first night in the hospital with her. But,
remind us of your mother's name.
Rebecca.
Okay.
Rebecca.
In prayer for Rebecca.
Yes.
Her health and all.
She's 94 years young, but she's doing great.
And your second?
The second is for my niece. She's in her, I guess, late 30s or so. She's going in for her second hip replacement. She had Perthes disease as a child and it collapsed the ball socket. She had her first one at 19, and now she's having her second. Her name is Angela, and she goes in tomorrow for her second hip replacement.
Her first name?
Angela.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be in prayer. And if she needs to know anything about hip replacement, talk to John. He's a pretty good expert on that now. So we'll be in prayer. Thank you very much. Yes.
I have a praise report in a prayer class. The praise report was for the word that y'all have been praying for me that is really bearing fruit. And I presented Hebrews 5:5 to one of the people over there, and he was very receptive. So, amen to that. This coming Thursday, I have to go see a plastic surgeon, and it's not about my nose, it's about my elbow. I want to have a higher nose. But please pray for the plastic surgeon in the diagnosis. I have a lipoma in the crease of my left elbow.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what it would be.
To the point where it's starting to bother my arm.
Okay. Jerry, thank you very much for being in prayer. Yes.
My mom, she has cataract surgery tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Okay. In Wichita Falls. Okay. We'll be in prayer. And, yes.
The triplets got RSV. They had to go to the hospital. Yeah, and they're
all three of them.
Yes, and they're doing better now. They spent the night in the hospital, and when she took them to the doctor, they caught it right at the right moment. The doctor said, "Go to the hospital immediately," and they got the babies off. They kept them all in separate rooms and got them stable, got them where they were eating, and their oxygen levels back to normal. So they're back home, and they're all doing well. But yeah, it was,
very good.
You know, it was just wearing on. My two nieces and the twins were like going from room to room to keep an eye on the babies, you know, in the hospital. They couldn't let them be in the same room.
Now, I'll probably keep asking this. Give me the three of the names.
Branson, Bradley, and Barrett.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yep. We've been in prayer for them. Okay. Laura, tell us what's going on as far as the military and...
Two prayer requests.
Okay, very good.
One is Chris's dad. They found the bottom of the one. He passed that one several years ago. So we don't know any more than that right now. His name is Mike. Chris's dad is all he can prepare for him. So a lot of stuff going on there. And
okay.
Also for Teresa that we've been praying for, the IT twin who lost her son. And it's at home to school, to the preschool. Just prayers for her coming back. I think they're really wonderful. Love and it's our great
distraction.
So, but I think it's
going to
be hard to
discover her. Very good. We'll be in prayer.
And then for the packages, today, as soon as we're done, we have communion, we have college kids. Larry's got all the cards. We'll put good cards in those. Those address and seal. We have Walmart bags that several people brought today. So what we'll do is around the table, if you want to kind of do an assembly line and grab a Walmart bag and go around and pick up. Most things are one of each thing, like a pair of black socks, a pair of white socks. Some things are several, like candy. It's going to be maybe two or three notes put in there, and if we get back and go fill in, we'll do that. We also have the priority boxes, so someone may want that job of getting those boxes ready and a bag gets filled, put them in. And then we have Sharpie, and we have the address that goes on the boxes. So there's several jobs that people can pitch in and do. And the goal is that everything that was brought in the box.
Very good. Okay, so if you can have time after we get through the communion dinner, go back there and we'll get it going.
Yeah.
Very good.
And two other things on the piano, you'll see the Christmas ornaments that both of our youth groups put together this year with our commemorative sign from last year's summer camp. So if you would like to make a donation to the youth group and grab an ornament, we'd love you to do that.
I've got mine.
Awesome. And the other thing on the college cards, I thought we should share how much we were able to get for a bank. So you guys gave some very generous donations.
And then what up was right at $1,000. So
very good.
And we earned $1,040.
And we had 30. Every child got a $40 Amazon
gift
card. They can use for textbooks. They can use for gifts. They can use for
home. Textbooks?
Yeah.
How about
exactly.
Food?
They can use it for just about anything. We felt like that was the best.
So we'll be sending those out tomorrow.
Okay. Is that, you had something else with us too?
No.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. It's that time again. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board for cleaning and donuts for next year. And also, be sure and take a look at the supply board. We do need supplies. I've got them up there. I'm trying to put things up there before we're totally out so that I can replace as something is used up with a fresh jar of something or coffee or paper. Paper goods are the ones we go through the fastest, and we are very low on paper towel at the moment. We're good on tea paper, but paper towel, I think there's two rolls, and that one gets hard sometimes.
I'll take care of that. I love Sam's. I'll take care of the paper towel.
I'm
going to
beat you to it.
Yeah, Morgan's the fan.
I'll beat you to it.
Okay. Anyway, and if you put your name by that, then be sure, and when you bring the product, erase that it's been taken care of that someone else doesn't think it's needed and get it. Not that we wouldn't love it. We just don't have a lot of storage space for storing those large items like that.
Okay, do that.
My friend, singer-songwriter Billy Dawn Smith passed away the other day.
There goes part of rock and roll history.
Oh, the history, yeah. His, pray for his sister, brother, and his longtime friends who hit him very hard. And also, too, a GoFundMe page, because this man, all the contributions he did to society and to music, he got no money.
And we'll be in prayer for your daughter.
Thank you.
You bet. Any other prayer requests or anything? Very good. Julie, how are we doing as far as countries are concerned? Outreach. About how many?
Well, right now we have 112 countries.
112 countries tuning in to us. Good. Very good. That's up to God, not up to us. Very good. Okay, any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. We're closing out 2018. Getting ready to go into 2019. We've got some wonderful challenges, opportunities in 2019. We got the youth camp coming up. And so are we going to do the chili cook-offs next year? When will that be?
First week of February.
That's one of my favorite Sundays. Good. Okay. And let's see. So just an opportunity, people, to be a part of supporting the Word of God. We're studying on Wednesday night the book of Acts. We just finished chapter 16, and Paul at Philippi. And the believers in Philippians, they continued to support him after he left and on many other journeys, as he would talk about in other places, that the people of Philippi still supported him. And this is your opportunity to be a part of the spreading of the gospel to unbelievers and believers, spreading of the word of God, and just open opportunities, whatever opportunities will avail themselves to us. Missionaries, Risley's, and Fassel, and Rosa, and so just opportunities, and we're ready for more. If he will open up the door, we'll ready for take that on too. And so let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. We do thank you, Father, for the opportunity you give this humble assembly. The internet, mission fields, the young people, and right here in our own assembly. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, the reigning King, Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. To be in prayer. Judith and her family will be traveling today, coming back home, so please be in prayer for safe travel. Okay, this coming week we'll be at the pre-trib conference, and so we will not have Wednesday night class. That's the bad news. But the good news is my good friend John Hintz is, he and I have been friends since the 60s. And some of you probably weren't even born then, but anyway, that's how long we've known each other. And it's just always a joy to me to have John come and stay with us and spend some time and then come and teach us. So without further use of his time, John Hintz, please come.
With that, my holy garb on, I'm not wearing a jacket because it's hot in here. I think you can hear me. When my mother was about 6 months pregnant with me, she was frightened by a PA system. And so I was born with a loud voice. And you're able to hear me. You might want to turn that volume down a little bit, Jim, because I have a tendency, unlike Kerman, to speak softly. But it's good to be here. I always enjoy coming. As Herman said, we've been buddies, friends since the 60s. I think I was about 3 months old. He was in college. But we have been friends a long time. And I was telling somebody the other day, what sustains friendship has nothing to do with my lesson today. But maybe one day I'll tell you about it. What sustains friendship is spiritual love. And that's what sustains friendship over a period of 50, 60 years. So it's been good to have such a great friend as Herman. Wanted to just mention a couple of things. Obviously, greetings from Tucson Bible Church. We need to turn that on because we turned it off. But greetings from Tucson Bible Church. It's fun to be in a church where we have similar momentum. And Herman and I have similar spiritual momentum. That may be a good or bad thing. It's kind of depend on how you look at it. But we do. And I did want to say briefly about the Risley. Several people have asked. I know that y'all enjoyed the time when the Risleys were here. Did they bring y'all some calendars? Okay. Because I printed a bunch, and then if you're on my mailing list, You should get a calendar anyway in the mail in the next week or so. They went out. What did we do? Did we lose it? I remember just the other day, Billy Graham had the same problem. How about that? There it is. I thought it was HDMI 3. We need the spiritual gift of Jiggler. Yeah. See, we probably should have left it on. Yeah, laptop's fired up and showing. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll start it all over again, but it shouldn't. Oh, we did something. Okay, good, good. Come on. I'm trying to get presenter's view. You see it? Okay, good. Usually it's on the other side. Anyway, I was going to tell you a little bit. If you don't get a calendar in the mail in the next 2 weeks, email me and tell me, because maybe I didn't have your proper address. But they went out in the mail Saturday. And so I don't know how long it will take them to get here, but we put 148 in the mail. So that's good. Pat Risley, keep her in your prayer. This trip, last trip where she was here in Arkansas, was probably her last trip out. And she is in just really poor health. You know, about 75-80% of her heart's gone. And so she's just ticking along. She is so funny. She had probably 30 or 40 heart attacks. And she just kept, she was down in Mexico. She just kept around going. She just didn't have time to stop. And the doctors, when she was in the hospital the last time for, they did all the surgery, the doctor said, well, your heart's dead. There's no need doing anything. And she said, and they wanted to put her in the hospital. She said, no, I need to go home. I got some things I need to finish up before I die. And so he decided to do surgery. And, you know, it's God's still in the miracle business. And he really performed a miracle there. And she survived the surgery and is doing better. And but she just can't drive. And well, she can't drive, but she can't go and do the things like she used to do. It's interesting. It's almost as if God knows and plans ahead of time of what's going on. Because as they've gotten older and unable to drive out into the boonies and sleep on the ground and that type of thing, God changed their ministry and now he brings people to them. And I tease Bill. I tell him he's not a real missionary. Real missionaries had to go out and beat the bushes. Even when he went out in the bushes, he just gave people numbers. And they lined up, and it was their time to hear the gospel. He gave them the gospel and went to the next. That's not missionary work. And God has just blessed them. They were lived in the same little village, I guess, 20 years, and they never had a ministry there. They just lived there. That was their headquarters. People wouldn't have anything to do with them, per se, and then through events that happened with Grady helping people in the city and doing things, all of a sudden, it was like, wow, the gringos are good people. And their ministry, now people come to them. Courtney has, of course, her clinic. And so that is a means. And they understand how to use, I don't know another word, the social gospel. And how to do things for people and express God's love, and you keep the main thing, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the Word. And they're able to do that. And so, too many people go into what? Social gospel, helping people, and then that becomes their ministry. And they never even think about the gospel. They never even think about their spiritual souls. But they're using the physical to bring people and minister to them spiritually. And God has really blessed them and is using them. And as Bill and Pat drop off the scene, Grady and Cheryl and Courtney are taking over. Most of you don't know Cheryl. Cheryl, if you looked up the word saint in a dictionary, you'd see a picture of Cheryl. And she puts up with stuff that nobody else would put up with. Well, I wasn't even thinking of Grady. Holy cow. I mean, compared to other things, Grady's the least. We went to see them one time, and they were ministering in this little village, and they all five lived in this little bitty camper with no facilities, a roof that leaked, okay? They had water truck came by once a week and poured water in the trough, and that's what they used. And later, they moved from there, and we visited them in their house in Mexico where they were living with five kids, and it started raining. And quickly, Cheryl says, open the front door, open the front door. And I'm thinking, why would you open the front door? Well, simple, because they were kind of downhill, and as the water ran, it ran into the back of the house through the walls and then through the house, and if you had the front door shut, it just flooded everything. And so you had to open the front door so the water would run out. Now, how many people put up with that? You know? And do you know how long it takes to vacuum dirt floors? But, I mean, and she just thrives on that, loves it. And that's just, you know, that's a gift. Not mine. Thank you. Dear Lord, thank you. And so, pardon me. So they're still ministering. So keep them in your prayers, and keep Bill. His health is not that good either. Living in Mexico is just not good for you. And so keep them in your prayers. Well, we're in Psalms 119, and so let's take a moment and make sure that each one of us is trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us and to show us the things that God would have us to see today. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your love. I thank you for the time that we have to come together and to study your word today. I pray that as we spend time in your word, that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, would teach us, show us the things that you would have us to see. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I really started this the first hour. And so, the good news is I'm not going to teach you the first hour again. You've endured that. Some of you survived. I think she said there were how many countries listening? That was before I taught. Now it's in the 80s. So there we go. But let me see what's up here, because, you know, I want to talk about, in this psalm, God's rules for life. And I know we're grace, we don't have rules. And I started out the first hour. Does God have a rule for salvation? Yeah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Is that the only way you can be saved? Oh, so his rule is the rule. It's supreme. Well, you know what? He has rules for us as believers as well. Ooh. And they're grace rules. Okay? And so, it always confuses me when I'm not in a, for some reason it doesn't want to do, I don't know what it's going to show. Whoops. See? I'm not in. It will not show. I'm going to have to fix this real quick. You'll just have to pardon me. This happens sometimes when you're preaching. You know, now I'm not going to save this, and so we may never get back. Oh, get back to it. Never get back to it. Now we'll see. That's not what I want. That's just what I was afraid of. Let's see if I can get it again. I'm going to go this route. Here we go. Nope, it didn't. That just went away. Now my PowerPoint just went away. There it is. Let's see if this works. There we go. I'm going to start down here. Now let's see what happens. Nope. Thank you. And Paul said, in all things give thanks. That's what he was talking about, because he was teaching one time with his PowerPoint, having all kind of problems, and finally it showed up. So here we have God's rules for life, and I just want to go through this very quickly, maybe. And the first rule is the supremacy of Christ, or the supremacy of the Messiah. Now, I'm using Christ instead of Messiah. David would have been the supremacy of the Messiah. There's only one way to be saved, and that's faith in the Messiah. Jesus Christ is supreme. Now, God's rule for life is, He wants us to make Jesus Christ supreme in our lives. In other words, the number one priority in our life. So our life centers around Jesus Christ. And I have suggested to Herman that one day he teach a series called The Christ-Centered Life. Okay? And now we have another wall over here, and that's the supremacy of Scripture. And I was telling somebody, the supremacy of Christ, supremacy of Scripture, this comes out of the Reformation. Because in the Roman Catholic Church state, what was supreme is what the church said, what the priest said, what the cardinal said. And after the Reformation, part of the Reformation, no, what is the authority is Scripture. And just from that comes all kinds of things, because as they studied Scripture, they realized the supremacy of Christ. You were saved by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. It was not something that the state church doled out as you did good works. You see, the church believed in grace. And grace was something that you worked for and earned, and if you did enough good works, then you would merit grace from Jesus Christ. And you didn't get saved, but you got saved from spending an extra long time in purgatory. Just think about that. Here was your best hope if you were not a priest, bishop, cardinal, or pope. Your best hope was that if you donated a lot of money to the church, you did a lot, you worked hard, you would only have to spend maybe 100,000 years in purgatory. Boy, I mean, you're talking about the hope within you. See? And they said, no, the church doesn't dole out salvation. Jesus Christ does. Supremacy of Christ. Supremacy of Scripture. It's not what Herman says that makes it true. It's what God says. It's not what John says that makes it true. It's what God says. Scripture. Then the other wall of truth that God wants us to be bound by is the supremacy of God's truth or God's plan for my life. So if I want to live a life of happiness that our author is talking about, I have to recognize the supremacy of Christ, live a Christ-centered life. I have to recognize the supremacy of Scripture. It becomes the authority of my life. I have to recognize the supremacy of God's plan for my life. Now, when I speak of trusting God's plan for your life, synonymously, that's with trusting the Holy Spirit. If you trust the Holy Spirit, you're trusting God's plan. What's God's plan for your life as a believer? Hello? I gave you a clue. Trust the Holy Spirit. Is that God's plan? Yeah. What's God's plan? Now, this is deductive reasoning. I didn't give you this answer. What's God's plan for the unbeliever? Trust Jesus Christ. Trust the one whom He sent to save them from the penalty of sin. Is that right? Is that God's law? Is that the law for the unbeliever? You won't go to heaven? Trust Jesus. I'll do for you. Trust me. Is that the law for a believer? You want to have the abundant life? You want to grow spiritually? Trust me. I'll do for you. Trust the Spirit. Trust God's plan. You cannot trust the Spirit and not trust God's plan. You can't trust God's plan and not trust the Spirit. You know, sometimes, I know, you would think that God being omniscient wouldn't be messed up so much on what His plan should be for us. But it is. Because being omniscient, God thinks He knows everything. And He thinks He knows what's best for me. And so I have to learn to trust God's plan for my life when it doesn't look right. Because you know what? It's right. You see where faith comes in? No. God, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, this is the way to do this. See? And you know what God says? He says, John, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000,000 times. He exaggerates sometimes. I'll do for you. Trust me, my plan for you is perfect. Now shut up and trust me. See? Now, here's the fourth pillar here. The supremacy of God's wisdom. So as I learn Scripture, as I understand God's grace, I begin to understand a little bit of how God thinks and His viewpoint, and so I have wisdom. And it's God's wisdom, and that's supreme. Now, what happens is, and this is what happened to David, our author, is he realized he should trust Him, and that's how he had the abundant life, but sometimes he looked out here, and he saw that there was green grass out here. And it looked greener than God's grass. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of grass, okay? And so, as he went out in his plan for his life, the greener grass, what did he get? A miserable life. But God's plan was an abundant life. And so, our author, whom I believe is David, we'll see today, he thanked God for his miserable life when he was walking in his own plan and not God's plan. He thanked God for divine discipline. If you read, just read a little bit about David, and let me tell you, David had, when he died, he had calluses on his butt because God had just whipped it so much. Do you see what I mean? And you know what he says? Thank you, Jesus, for my whippings. Because my whippings caused me to move back where I could have the abundant life. And that's why it is important. David understood grace. Now I'm just going to read these first few verses and get down to verse 7. How blessed, happiness, prosperity. This whole psalm, the Aleph, is prosperity. How to have spiritual prosperity. More important than physical prosperity. How blessed, how prosperous are those whose way is blameless. Uh-oh. You want to have spiritual prosperity? You have to walk on the road of righteousness. You have to live a righteous life. Living a righteous life means you're living in the light of eternity. You're not going to be embarrassed at the bema seat of Christ. Who walk in the law of Yahweh. Remember, their lifestyle is in the law, Torah. I talked about Torah. Torah basically means a record of God's gracious actions toward Israel. And so, I suggest to you, well, you might want to do that. You might at least get something. But, read Exodus. Read any 10 chapters in Exodus, and I think you'll see God's grace towards Israel. Unless your Bible is different than mine, you won't read chapter after chapter how the children of Israel were faithful to God. They trusted God. They trusted God. They trusted God. No. They're unfaithful, unfaithful, unfaithful. God's faithful, 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 faithful. That's grace. David understood God's grace. You will never, ever approach spiritual maturity. You cannot grow spiritually without understanding grace. And we understand grace as we search the Scriptures. As we study, what is Scripture? It's about the grace of God. See, knowledge, maturity, is not what you know. It's who you know. And so as you learn doctrine, you learn and develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, and that's the purpose. Doctrine is the bus, the road that takes us to an intimate relationship with God. That's what God wants for us. You know, he wants to have an intimate relationship with me. That blows my mind. Just think. God knows. Do you know God knows more about you than you know about yourself? Do you know all the dumb things you've ever done, many of which you've forgotten? God knew before he ever saved you. Do you see grace? God didn't say, no. There's that Maddox fella down there. He is just a wonderful person. He is so good. You know, as an unbeliever, he's living a righteous life. He barely has a sin nature. He is worthy of salvation. No. No. God said, you see that Maddox guy down there? Talking about a rat fink. I'm going to save him. Because I love him. You see that? Grace. Grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. So he says then, the righteous, verse 2, they seek after God, after Christ, with all their heart. How do they seek after him? They're learning God's word. And they're allowing the Holy Spirit to use God's word and mold them into the image of Jesus, and that's what gives them a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. I'm going to go so far to say, in order to really have a relationship with somebody, you need to know them. Okay? People tell me, oh, we're getting married. Oh, really? Great. Yeah. Oh, we have a great relationship. Y'all been going out long? Well, we've never really been out. We met on the internet. Now look, that may be a great place to meet people. It's probably almost as good as a bar. But don't tell me that you've had 12 emails from this person, and now you know their soul. I'm sorry. You don't. You have to know a person. Know how they think. Know how they act in crisis. Gives you a clue. And as you get to know that person, see, that's why I tell young people you should date and court. The purpose is this the kind of person I want to spend my life with? You know why so many people have horrible marriages? Horrible choices in marriage. The number one reason for divorce is wrong choice of mate. Hey, you can't go to a lot of churches today and get deep truths like that. Okay? Yeah. And then this is what gets me. You know, Pastor, I knew when I was dating him it was the wrong one. Then why did you marry him? Well, my gift, one of my spiritual gifts, not only pastor, but it's the gift of sympathy. Steve, it is very rude. And so, and also encouragement. I have sympathy and encouragement. And I'll say, then, why were you so stupid? See? But that's not my lesson today. But you know what? You know what will save you from a bad marriage? Living in God's plan for your life. Because you begin to see truth. And you understand, just as I need a relationship with Jesus, and I get that relationship as I understand God, I'm going to have a relationship with this person as I get to understand them. And you know what? Sometimes you get to understand people and you realize, I don't want a relationship with you. I'm out of here. But it's best if that happens before you get married and have five kids. Okay? So, he says, you have ordained your precepts, your divine instructions for happiness, and that we should keep them diligently. The word diligently there means with power. How do we keep his precepts? From the power of the Holy Spirit. And the idea for precepts is God's grace rules. There, are you got me? And then he says, by the way, the word keep there, Shema, it has the idea of to keep something, but it also has the idea of responsibility. And I've discovered people don't understand, I'm talking about believers, when I talk about people, because many believers are people. And I'm not about people, doctrinal types, that's us, okay? They don't really understand grace. Oh, yeah, I'm a grace believer. Well, that means I have no responsibilities. Oh, isn't that great? That isn't what grace means. Uh-oh, did I step on your toes? Let me just think here, man. Let me ask you. You don't raise your hand. Were you supposed to bring something for the lunch today? Don't raise your hand. Did you bring it? You met a responsibility. Is that right? So, you didn't bring it. You were supposed to bring the main dish. And you said, but we're under grace. I have freedom not to do things. And so I use my freedom not to bring what I said I would do. People, that ain't grace. That's irresponsibility. You see that? I have a responsibility. Okay, I won't step on your toes. I have a responsibility to support this ministry financially, as God has prospered me. Besides that, this is another thing. You can't take it with you. Okay? Almost everybody who dies leaves their checkbooks behind. Okay? Nobody is standing at the pearly gate with their checkbook and MasterCard. Okay? I have responsibility. I have a responsibility. Listen to this. In grace, I have a responsibility to take advantage of God's grace and get to know Him. And have an intimate relationship with Him. That's my responsibility. Got to move on. Verse 6. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all of your commandments. These are all of your grace teachings. Now, I have to put on my reading glasses so I can see Scripture. But then I can't see y'all. And what a blessing. You know what David is saying? I want to learn more and more about God's grace as I study Scripture. 176 verses in this Psalms, and over 170 of them, Scripture in one way or the other is mentioned. Okay? It's an important thing. What's the purpose of Scripture? To know God. Why does he want to know God? Why does he want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? So he won't be ashamed when his life is evaluated. Wow, what a concept. Now, David is not going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. That's us. He's going to be evaluated with Old Testament saints at the Second Advent. You know, David's been, he's probably in heaven wondering, Peter, have you seen my evaluation? Did you give me a clue? Peter's, I hadn't even seen mine. Peter says, well, I know one thing. You said you were a man after God's own heart. That's pretty good. But at the second advent of Christ, David's going to be evaluated. You know what he's saying? I don't want to be ashamed. And here's what he's saying in this verse. When he gets into eternity, that's when he's going to begin to really understand God's grace. I want to understand your grace. During his whole life, he started out understanding God's grace, learning God's grace. Had a pitfall or two. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything, he didn't have any bad sins. Other than adultery, rape, murder. The three little ones. Okay? Other than that, do you know what? He was smart enough to know and recognize, and in this psalm, he has some times where he says, man, I was on the verge of death. I was as good as dead. And you revived me. How was he revived? As he went back to faith in God's plan for his life. Trusted God. Isn't that amazing? It almost works. See? Yeah. Do you have a question? Huh? Okay. That's okay. You can ask questions. Comments. We were talking. This has nothing to do with today's lesson. You can relax. Won't be any questions on this. Herbert and I were talking. It would be fun one day. We're going to do this. We're just going to take a passage. See, now he's telling me. We're just going to take a passage, and we're just going to talk about it, the two of us. Yesterday, we had the greatest time just taking a passage. We were just talking back and forth, asking each other questions. We had a ball. And I thought, man, you know, I bet people would enjoy that. When I get home from here, I have people in church, my church, they think Herman's really super. God knows why. And they'll say, oh, I bet you all had some of the most wonderful spiritual conversations. And we do sometimes. Yeah? I thought it'd be fun just to share a passage, how we look at it, go back and forth, ask each other, what do you think? Well, why not? And, you know, with Herman and I, we tell each other what we think. It's great. Well, David said, I'm never going to really understand your grace until eternity. Now, when he says here, when I look upon all of your commandments, here it's your grace teachings. Now look at this, verse 7. I shall give thanks. I'm going to be caused to give thanks to you with uprightness of heart, living a righteous life. As Paul was living a righteous life, he had an attitude of thanksgiving to God. But it came from living a righteous life. And then he says, when I learn of your righteous judgments, discipline. Wow. The word learn here is the word for an ox goad, discipline. You know what an ox goad is? Long stick with a nail on it? Well, God has one. Okay? And you've been studying Acts. Did God use the ox goad on Paul when he was Saul? Saul, it's kind of hard going against the ox goad, isn't it? Okay? Because you know what? God is poking Saul with the ox goad. Poke it. And he's, you know, if somebody pokes you on your left cheek, you have a tendency to move toward the right. Okay? Now, you know what Paul was doing? As he got poked on the left cheek, he had a tendency to move backwards toward the left. He had painful cheeks. You know what? He starts moving, see? Where is God poking him? Where is he direct? To the cross. That was the road to Damascus. Is that right? Okay. Now look. Just because you're saved doesn't mean God gives up the ox goad. Okay? But it's a gracious ox goad. That long stick with a nail on it is the stick of grace. Okay? Was it gracious to Paul that God kept poking him? Because Paul got eternal life out of it, okay? So it's a pretty good poke. Right? And you know what? Turned out pretty well for us too. Because we have the Pauline epistles. Every time we get away from God's grace rules for life, God starts poking us. That's discipline. Now, you won't see this in David's resurrected body. But if you could have seen his human body, his cheeks were black and blue. Okay? And he played a lot of Pokemon. Okay? And you know what he's saying in this verse? God, I thank you for all the time you poked me with the gray stick, the ox goat. Because it was those pokes that moved me back into that place where you could bless me. And I could enjoy the abundant life. That's what he's talking about right there. And so, occasionally, David said, oh, life is greener over there. There's Bathsheba. I love the Lord. What did he tell David? David, why did you ever ask for I didn't give you? You wondered if you should have asked me. I'd have given her to you. Wow. Just, can you imagine? Can you imagine you're black and blue bleeding because you took something that God would have given you if you just asked him for it? I mean, can you see? See, what happened to David? He got up one day and took a stupid pill. That's all. And when David wandered from the path of righteousness, he just put a little toe in there. And then it was one foot, another foot, and you know, next thing, we go back to Bathsheba. It was the time for all the kings to go to war, and where was he? Up on his roof, drinking mint juleps, smoking cigars. See? Looking at women. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was outside of God's plan for his life. And that's where he got in trouble. And so God had to poke him and poke him. And those bruises lasted a long time. Okay? And finally, David was smart enough to realize, my plan for my life sucks. It's a miserable life. God's plan gives me the abundant life. I'm going to take a smart pill. That's a grace pill. And go back to faith in God and his plan for my life. I'm just going to trust God. So what's God's rules for your life? Very simple. I'm God. You're not. I'll do for you. Trust me. Wow. And you know what Paul said about this plan? It's a fight. We fight the good fight of faith. Wow. So, in verse 7, what our author really says is, when our author wanders astray off the path of grace, he receives discipline from God, and when he gets back on track, he gives sincere thanks from his heart for God's righteous judgment on him. How many of us, I said this last hour, at Thanksgiving time, next Thanksgiving, at the Thanksgiving table, people are thankful, I got a new car, I got a new job, I got a new wife, got a new husband, got new kids, got rid of the old kids, got rid of the old wife, got rid of, you know, and you're saying, I'm thankful that last year, when I spent some time out of fellowship, God beat the living tar out of me. And I got back in and started walking by faith in the Spirit, getting my priorities right. The supremacy of Christ. Supremacy of Scripture. You see what I mean? Thank you, Lord. Because it was grace. He could have just left me out there. Just left me. Yeah, I didn't lose my eternal life. But my life's going to suck till I die. God said, no, I'm not going to do that to you. So, he says in verse 8, I shall keep your statutes. your boundaries of grace. Now, he says, do not forsake me. Okay? And what he's really saying here is, you will not utterly forsake me. Let's give you a translation from the Hebrew. Yeah. Well, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand, please. This is poker time. You ever spend a lot of time walking away from the Spirit? Maybe you ran. We start off just a step, out of step with the Spirit, walk away, presume we're running, you know? God didn't leave you out there. Your life got worse, more and more miserable, more and more miserable. God didn't forsake you. Just like the children of Israel, didn't forsake them. He didn't forsake you. He kept poking you, poking you, and poking you. And you said, whoa, I think I'll go back and just trust God and trust the Spirit. See if, yeah, I give it a shot. See if it works. Okay? And that's what you did. That's what he's talking about. Now, let's go to verse 9, which is where we should have started 40 minutes ago and we didn't. Okay? The Aleph file is prosperity file. Now, you have spiritual prosperity. The next letter is bet, house, protection. You got this spirit, you're spiritually prosperous. You have an intimate relationship with the Lord. What do you need to do? Protect it. Right? Just because you got it today don't mean you'll have it tomorrow. Okay? You got to protect it. In the ancient world, the place where you protected things was in your house. So, our psalmist says, I've got to protect my spiritual wealth, my intimacy with Jesus Christ. And so he says here, come on, I now have spiritual prosperity. I just want to do two things. I want to keep what I got and get more. Does that make sense? That's all I want. That's all I want. And so in verse 9, either you enjoy your prosperity, you either use your spiritual prosperity, or you lose it. Doesn't stay static. You're either piling up, getting greater and greater intimacy with Jesus Christ, or you're losing it. One or the other. One or the other. And he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can I keep on the path of spiritual prosperity? The path of righteousness? By keeping it, keeping my life, according to your word. What does your word teach? I'm God. I'll do for you. Trust me. Does that make sense? I'm just going to walk by faith. That's what makes it so hard. Because it's simple. I am convinced if salvation were by pushing a peanut with your nose 3 miles down one of the main streets here in Dallas, you couldn't drive on that street because there'd be people on it pushing a peanut with their nose. But you tell them, no, no, get up, people. You don't have to push your peanut. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, that's too easy. I'm pushing a peanut. Okay? So, we have 4 principles. Stay on God's path of righteousness. You want to protect your spiritual wealth? Live a righteous life. Okay. Now, I'm asking another question. This is deep. That's a terrible. I don't know what that word means, but I love it. How am I going to live a righteous life? I wonder, have you taught these people nothing? What? Oh, by by faith? Trust the Holy Spirit. Faith in the Holy Spirit, right? Remember, faith has to have an object. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Hard. Simple. So as I trust the Holy Spirit, if I'm walking with Him, odds are He's walking on the path of righteousness. Right? Holy Spirit very seldom sins. Okay? So, if I'm walking with Him, I'm walking on a righteous path. He's producing righteousness, experiential righteousness in me. Right? It's faith. Here's the rule. I'm God, you're not. I'll produce righteousness in you. You can't. Trust me. I'll produce righteousness in you. See? That's him like it. You can't stay on the path. Trust me. I'll keep you on the path. So how do I know I'm living, walking on the path of righteousness? I'm just walking with the Spirit. Wow. Who would have thunk it? See? So stay on the path. Stay off the path of unrighteousness. When we get off the path of unrighteousness, you know what? We ain't walking in the Spirit. But He ain't there. I thought God was omnipresent. Yes, He is. Herman explained that to you later. God's path of righteousness is the path of happiness in both time and eternity. Do you see grace? In grace, God says, I can give you the abundant life in time and a life that will blow your resurrection socks off in eternity. We're all going to be barefooted because our socks have been blown off. Wow. In other words, in grace, God says, I can give you apple pie in the sky and strawberry shortcake to hold you over in the meantime. Do you see God's grace? But, you know, I choose to walk in the path of unrighteousness and have misery. Why? Because I'm stupid. Not you. I'm sure you have your own reasons to walk in the path of unrighteousness that have nothing to do with you being stupid. It's because you're so intelligent. Yeah. Okay? So, spiritual purity in the light of eternity is the key to keeping spiritual prosperity safe. And our author gives us seven ways. Seven. How about 11? See, I'm thinking of the crap. Seven come 11. Never mind. On the come out, those are good numbers. 7 and 11. Once you have your point, they're bad. Seven is, okay? So, we're going to look at them. First one, how am I going to keep it safe? By keeping God's Word. Learning God's Word. Verse 10, look what he says. With all my heart, I have sought you. Don't let me wander off your commandments. Don't let me wander. Don't allow me to get off the road of your commandments on how to have spiritual prosperity. I want to seek intimacy with you. And then verse 3, or the third way in verse 10b, I just read you, by prayer. You want to have an intimate relationship with God, with Jesus Christ? Well, you know, spend a little time. It's okay to pray. You can pray every day. I don't get in the habit. God's busy, don't have time to listen to everybody. You know, take your turn. No, you can pray every day. And you can pray, you know, Father, I'd like to have an intimate relationship with you. Don't pray for patience. You can pray for intimacy with God. Okay? It's tribulation working patience. They come all by themselves. Just pray. Lord, show me your grace today. Tell me something that happens in my life. I say, wow, that's a gracious act from God. Man, my God is good. My God loves me. Thank you. Develop intimacy. You know what happens when you're intimate with somebody? You like to spend more time with them. I'm sitting on the plane. I don't know who it was. I just saw the headline on a little magazine on the plane. And this gal said, just because we got married doesn't mean we want to spend our honeymoon together. I looked for the article. I wanted to read that, but I couldn't find it. Let me tell you something. Now, this is free, extra charge. No extra charge. If you get married and you don't want to spend your honeymoon with that person, I would suggest another person to marry. Okay? That's just me. That's just me. That could be a bad sign. Ladies, if you marry somebody and he wants to honeymoon with somebody else, bad sign. Looks like a couple of you have already had that experience. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Okay? Just pray about your intimate relationship with God. Look at verse 11. Your word have I treasured it with... King James, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We learned that. Look at your word I've treasured. Not learned. Treasured in my heart. Not hidden. Treasured. Your word is more valuable to me than anything in my life. And as I treasure your word, that's how I want to keep this intimacy with you. That I might not sin. You know what? I'm not gonna wander off the path of righteousness and miss out on more blessings that you have for me. That's what he's talking about right there. Okay? And then, so I want to move on here. Here's the fifth way that you preserve your spiritual wealth. Doctrine in the soul, as you trust the Holy Spirit, results in respect, worship, the supremacy of God in your life. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the ever-loving living God. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your prescription for the abundant life. Teach me your boundaries for my life. Unbelievers know doctrine. Is that right? Don't they? Gnosis. They know the Bible. Look for a JW in your neighborhood. Ask him over for coffee. And have Bible memory verse drill with them. When you're embarrassed, quit. Okay? They know Bible. They wouldn't know Jesus if he knocked on their door selling Fuller brushes. Well, first of all... Oh, excuse me, man.
Yeah! The phone is ringing!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm telling them about you right now, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. I gotta let you go. I just have a few more minutes. Okay, I can take a few more. Okay. You're so gracious. I'm teaching them about grace right now. Okay, well, thank you, sir. You have a good day, too. I'll see you later. Hopefully not soon. I'm riding with Herman. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. I've seen Kenneth Copeland. He talks to God while he teaches. But God never calls Kenneth Copeland on the phone. Wow. Okay, that's... As you trust the Spirit, as you learn doctrine, okay? The doctrine is not the goal. It's not the end. It's the means. And the end is intimacy with Jesus, with God. Understanding Him and His grace. As you learn God's Word and trust the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, takes you and molds you into the image of Christ. He makes you like Jesus. And the more you are alike someone, the greater, more things you have in common, the greater your intimacy. Does that make sense? You would want to spend your honeymoon with that person. Okay? I don't know where that came from. So, look at this. If you don't know God's Word, you can't worship God. Because God's not supreme in your life. That's what worship is. Man. You can watch television. You know? They're worshiping. Fish was this big. Carry the big screen. Carry the flat screen TV. It's a big screen TV. You know? Field goal. You know? The wave. You watch all that on TV. That's, people think that's worship. Jumping up and down. Getting with you. You know? Now, if you worship it that way, just jump up and down. Not back and forth. Stay in your space. So, you know? And they think that's worship. But they don't know doctrine. They don't know God. And yet, here we are. We know God's Word. There ought not be anybody worship like we do. Because we recognize the supremacy of God. Let me tell you what true worship is. Yeah, it's singing. Okay? Tell people in our church, our greatest fear is God may hear us sing and think we're Pentecostal. I tell them, no chance. He has heard us sing. He knows we're not Pentecostal. Yeah? Worship is what we're doing right now. Worship is when you come on Wednesday night, you learn doctrine. Worship is when you trust the Holy Spirit and His plan for your life. That's worship. Okay? Worship is you understand His grace. Worship is when you're way out of fellowship. And now you know it's an absolute. I'm just using it. Okay? And you just go back to faith in the Spirit. That's worship. Think about that. We're to worship God every day. You can worship Him at work. Now, he asked God to teach him. And there's six other times that he asked God to teach him in this Psalms. I'll let you look for them. Okay? How about that? Here's fifth way now, doctrine of the soul, supremacy of Christ. You are to receive worship from me, from God, as you give the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit teaches you His statutes, how to stay in bounds, how to live the Christian life, how to appreciate grace. Sixth way, verse 13. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. He protects His treasure by telling others of God's plan for His life. Here's what he means, I think. God's plan for His life is so real to Him. His Messiah is so supreme in His life that others see His Messiah in Him. And therefore, His witness has validity. Does that make sense? And so, He protects His treasure by telling others. But see, but why is He really telling others? Because He's protecting it because it's real to Him. It is important to Him. So, God's plan is real to Him. Others see God's plan working out in His life. Other people saw David with problems. you know what? They didn't hear David complaining and griping. They saw David praising God. Wow, that's weird. So, Armin said I could go until I was hungry, and I'm still not hungry. Okay? Now look at here. He says, I have, in verse 14, I got to skip there. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Wow. Can you get that? I'm going to move over here. There we go. He wrote things down. I didn't have time to go there. Okay? But I'm getting there. Yeah, but we have to, we're under law. We have to finish on time. Okay? Look here. I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, testimonies of your grace. David, richest man in the world, worth billions of dollars. And here's what he's saying. Understanding your grace is more valuable to me than my billions of dollars. And it was in gold, too. Okay? Wow. You see that? True value. Here, I'm going to phrase that another way. David is saying, I'm worth billions of dollars. Okay? He gave a couple billion just to build a temple. He says, all of my money is not as valuable as my intimate relationship with God. Wow. Do you see true value? He didn't even shop at Ace Hardware, but he understood true value. He rejoices in God's love when God's plan does not look right to him. So, I've rejoiced when your love didn't look right. It's more important to me. Your grace is more important than anything. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts, your prescription for the abundant life, and regard your ways. Verse 16, I shall be caused to delight in your statute. I shall not forget your word. Wow. David had problems in life. And here's what David's saying. When your love doesn't look right, when I'm in great distress, and he talks about it, there were times when he was on the verge of death. He was so despondent. Okay? He just went back to faith in God. Faith in the Spirit, we would say. And he said, during those times, I didn't forget your word. You know when we have the greatest tendency to forget God's word? In times of crisis. You ever notice that? When you need it most, don't forget God's word when you need it most. And one way you can be assured that you won't forget it is you keep learning and learning and learning of God's grace. People ask me, when will I know I'm spiritually mature? A guy asked me 40 years ago, how much doctrine do I need to know? It was a key. And I said, partner, it ain't what you know, it's who you know. But you need to keep developing that relationship day by day by day. And one way you do it is through the Word. If the Word is not supreme in your life, Jesus Christ is not supreme. I have more, but it's time to close because we have a communion. Now look, Herman cannot do this, but I can. You've heard me. I talked to Jesus on the phone. And here's what I want you to do, because already I've kept you 5, 6, 10 minutes, probably by the time we're through communion, 10, 15 minutes late. Okay? When you get to heaven, and eternity is over, you have a chit for 15 more minutes. Okay? So at the end of eternity, you get to add 15 more minutes. Father, thanks for this time that we've had to spend a few moments in this great psalm. I pray the Spirit would take these things, make them real to us. Now, as we celebrate your table, I pray that it's done in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.